listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Fire burning inside my eyes. This the music that saved my life. Y'all be calling it hip hop. I be calling it hypnotized. Yeah, hypnotized. Trap my body but free my mind. What the fuck are you fighting for? Ain't nobody gonna win that war. My details be retail. Man, I got so much in store. Racism is still alive. Yellow tape and colored lines. Fuck that nigga, look at that line, it's so diverse, they getting off work and they want to see Kendrick. Everybody can't drive Benzes, and I've been there, so I'm making my business to give my full attention. Ten hut, man, I gotta get my wind up, man, I gotta get right with God, cause I got my sins up, ooh. Matter of fact, don't mistake me for no fucking rapper. They sit backstage and hide behind the fucking cameras. I mosh pick, had a microphone and I tossed it, had a brain then I lost it. I'm out of my mind, so don't you please don't mind how much the cost is. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Aaron,
and we're live on a Monday. Mm-hmm. Very special Monday, because I get to be with you. That's right, buddy.
Yay!
We're gonna do some podcasting. You can find us on iTunes, Stitchers. Leave us 5-star reviews. We appreciate everybody takes the time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the Taser.
The unofficial sport
is Bullet Ball
and Bullet Ball Extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by. Just go to the live show, okay? theblackouttips.com/live2018. Right there on our website. Buy you some tickets, okay? We appreciate the help. Hopefully we can sell this piece of historic art out, okay? We can, get on the stage and.
Yes, we in the same place as the Lion King.
Yeah, I want to see a sea of hundreds of faces.
Me too!
All just staring back at us, smiling, ready to laugh, and then I'll be ready to, do the show. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that. So, live 2018, Charlotte, North Carolina, Blumenthal Theater for Performing Arts. Every time I say that, I'm still kind of like, nigga. But we're gonna be in there saying nigga, it's gonna be funny.
Come out. I don't know if they was sure what they signed up for.
Yeah, they don't know us, but it's all right. But to come to this one, we may never get to do it in a place this nice again. They mm-hmm. might be like, sir, you violated all the rules.
We didn't
think we would have to tell you not to say nigga 37 times, but now that we know, you can never come back.
They're gonna have to do that. They did Grand Theft Auto. They're gonna take out the niggas.
Yeah, September 20th, Charlotte, North Carolina. We hope to see you. All right, all kinds of stuff is going on. I don't even know where to start. Actually, you know, I do know where to start. Karen, you came home today, and I was tired. I was laying down taking a nap,
mm-hmm.
and I said I was going to cook. And I said if we start the show by 5:30, I should be able to cook tonight.
Yes.
And I slept till 6 by accident.
Well,
but
fine.
I still was planning on cooking.
Oh, okay.
But I woke up and Karen was already banging around pots and pans and making food. Even after you got off work and worked all day today, super hard and stuff. And I just want you to know I appreciate you.
Oh, no problem. I asked.
You didn't have to do that.
No, I asked because it's one of those things, but I know you prepare, but I know you're doing a lot of different things. And I know after the show, you actually, you know, I don't want to say chopping and screwing, but you know, you putting everything together in the background, downloads, RSS feed, and I'm not doing none of that. So, I actually, for those of you, most of y'all know I got an Instapot. That's like the best thing ever. And we do, HelloFresh, and some of the HelloFresh meals, I revamp them to Instapot meals.
Yeah. So anyway, I wanted to thank you for that, but you're always doing stuff like that around here. And I got you something.
That's what I'm here for.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Go ahead, open it up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I actually, went to go pick that up and,
Nigga! For real?
Yes, for real.
Yes!
Mm-hmm.
Ow!
It's a Baychella hoodie. I went to go pick that up at the apartment office, you know, where they get our packages.
Yes.
And the black girl was working in there, and she seen the on one side it says Baychella, and she was like, is this a Baychella hoodie? And I was like, it is, it might be. And she was like, oh my god, you are so cool. Because I know she knows you. So she knew it was for you. So you're welcome.
I've been wanting one of these since I seen her in it.
Well, I bought it the night that they did the performance or whatever, but they were like, you buy your shit and it will mail it out to you like a couple months later. And I was like, let me just do it now for some shit gets sold out. And then we don't even end up getting it. So, thank you for all the stuff you do around here.
Honey, they ain't gonna know what to do with me. They better be glad it's too hot to put it on, but shit, I'll take it and hold on to it, cause I'm always cold. So shit, I'll be in the restaurant wrapped up in it.
Yeah, so I know you always be cold, so I thought you might, instead of having to always wear your sweater out, you can wear that or something, you know?
Yes! Thank you!
No problem. Love you.
I love you too.
Alright, let's do some news. I don't know if you heard, but IHOP changed its name today to IHOB, which means the International House of Bloods. That's right. They stopped Crippin'. They are down. They no longer Piru. Nah, they.
It started all types of trouble, honey. I seen the jokes and other companies was going at them and shit. You don't specialize in burgers.
Yes, it's International House of Burgers. It was funny because, Burger King put out something that said Pancake King for their logo.
Yes, Pancake King!
Wendy's, now that it's so, they should have never gave these, fast food chains social media accounts.
Cause whoever is running them be feisty.
Yeah, like,
I think so secretly niggas be running them accounts.
Something is up.
Just running them accounts.
Yeah, something is up cause like Wendy's and
Wendy's be on fleek.
Wendy's a little too off the chain, you know. Some of the other ones not that good with social media. Right. But IHOP actually is one of the savvy ones. People be shitting on IHOP, but yeah, they changed the name to IHOP for International House of Burgers, and they had like a big rollout, the Today host and stuff, while holding burgers, taking pictures with them, which I'm like, y'all ain't never gonna take a bite of them burgers, stop lying.
Right. And I remember, what was it, yesterday, day before yesterday, we were riding and we seen like a billboard. I think it was Saturday, we was getting home.
I pointed out that billboard.
Right, and I was like, what the fuck is that? And
I was like, that's real? I thought it was a joke. I was like, they really doing this? And it was just like, IHOP, see what it is, June 11th. I was like, what are they? I told you then, I think it's House of Breakfast. You know,
that like, never funny, that would actually make most sense, but you don't specialize in burgers and you are not known for your high class burgers.
You know what bothers me the most though, besides I don't really care about the burger thing, none of the burgers were pancakes for buns.
Oh, like, that's smart.
Why didn't you make a burger with pancakes for buns? Like, that's such a layup. It's the, if you're gonna be IHOP and you make burgers, why wouldn't one of the burgers have pancake bun? Like, throw an egg on that bitch, give you some syrup dipping sauce.
Yeah, they already do for French toast.
I mean, come on, man. And people were like, well, McDonald's is gonna sue them for McGriddles. First of all, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my fucking life. That's like saying, Burger King gonna sue McDonald's for having a quarter pounder. Nigga, you can sell shit that's similar. It's not like nobody invented the fucking burger, but the pancake bun would have been some different shit. Not to mention, the McGriddle ain't like got a quarter pound on the shit. It's got sausage, bacon, and egg and shit.
And that thing is small.
Yeah, like, they really missed the opportunity to take, like, I don't know, silver dollar size pancakes and turn them into fucking buns. I can't, like, I would honestly, if I worked at IHOP and they rolled this out and I was CEO and I saw they never put the pancake burger on the menu, I would actually fire everyone.
Right. You gonna come out with this, let's do it all. And somebody made a good point. I would actually go to the Pancake King too. I bet you Pancake King shit probably be flames.
Now the thing is, I don't think much of this is gonna change the stuff that's on the menu.
Right.
You know, but I almost went to IHOP for lunch and was gonna take a picture eating a burger, but I decided against it because I was like, these niggas is getting too emotional on social media about a little bit of change to a menu.
And the funny part about it is that they probably already planned for it, but them signs ain't gonna change overnight. Everybody still got to pee.
Like, how serious are they? Is it gonna change or not? Like I know it's like they want to go viral. I guess it's mostly a gimmick, but like, are they taking this shit for real or are they not? You know, like, they wasted the opportunity because they was changing all their P's to B's in their social media feed today. I'm like, I'm like, y'all really wasted a huge possibility of making us a sandwich made out of pancakes, and they didn't do it. So
they sure didn't.
I said, you gonna come in, they gonna be like, you and you thick. they gonna be like the blood on Insecure. Oh man. Anyway, man, welcome to IHOB. And for the record, the pictures of the burgers look good to me. Like, everybody was shitting on it, like, these burgers gonna be terrible. Who eats a burger at IHOP? And I'm like, yeah, so I gotta raise my hand. When you work there,
people do order.
You eventually do end up going through all the menus. And at some point, you get sick and tired of, like, omelets and eggs and
crepes.
Yeah, so then you work your way over to the other side of the menu. And it's not as bad as you think. Burgers ain't that bad. Got some big old fries, like, it's good, you know. It's just,
yeah, for your standard, right?
Yeah, you just never think about it. It's as good as like a Ruby Tuesday burger or
yeah,
some Chili's or some shit. Like, you get a burger from Chili's and you never be like, my God, you disgust me. Like, you just be like, yeah, it's a burger, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people go there, they don't want breakfast,
right? That's what it is. So, but anyway, it was worth the jokes, so I didn't care.
The jokes was good.
Eminem is drawing criticism for using realistic gunshot sounds at Bonnaroo. Shout out to my girl Janelle James. She out there at Bonnaroo.
Oh, what is the Bonnaroo?
It's a concert, like conference thing, like festival.
Okay.
Where they have different bands go. I think they have comedians perform, and I don't know. I'm assuming Janelle's out there because she's performing, because she said she was getting go-karted around from place to place. And when we get back, we're going to be dealing with a go-kart bitch from now on. So
yes, go-kart!
Everybody better step up and be prepared. She's not the same. But yeah, Eminem is drawing criticism from festival goers who are fighting and upset over the rapper's use of a sound effects that to some fans resemble gunshots during his headliner performance at Bonnaroo Saturday. Many fans screamed and ducked as a series of loud blasts rang out through the crowd during Eminem's performance of Kill You from his 2000 album The Marshall Mathers LP. The nervous reactions arrived at a time when concert goers on edge following the deadly mass shootings at last year's Route 91 Country Musical Festival in Las Vegas. And then I guess this is they have a Twitter video of it. 8 seconds of the
why not say it won't fucking kill you. Kill you.
Oh, now according to Eminem, he's like, I did not do that. We didn't use those sound effects. His spokesman said, but contrary to inaccurate reports, Eminem does not use gunshot sound effects during his live show. The effects used by Eminem on the set of Bonnaroo was a pyrotechnic concussion, which creates a loud boom. He has used this effect, as have hundreds of other artists, in the live show for over 10 years, including previous U.S. festival dates, without complaint.
Yeah, because I was like, I remember that song, and I don't remember any gunshots like in the song itself.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, they're getting off on the technicality. They definitely wanted you to feel like it's a gunshot if you were in the audience,
right?
But I don't blame him. I don't blame the top pyrotechnic people. I blame the fact that we have no gun control in this fucking country, and that the reality of being shot while just attending a concert is so vivid and so real for people, they can't even enjoy a media presentation of a song literally about I'ma kill you and it ends with a gunshot for dramatic effect without going, oh my God, someone's really trying to kill us in the audience right now. That's not Eminem's fault. The world has changed since 1990 or whenever he put this fucking song out.
Yes.
Like, if motherfuckers weren't going around killing people at concerts for real, if there weren't so many mass shootings,
people wouldn't have thought twice about it.
Nobody, yeah, you just be like, oh, it was a shocking moment, but we all, you know, we knew it was that we immediately started clapping because it's the end of the song, you know? So yeah, it's just kind of interesting that, we've come so far that people are like, I think you need to take this out stuff out of your music, even if your song is about killing somebody. Because I might be getting shot at and I don't know. Supreme Court gives Ohio the right to purge thousands of voters from its rolls in a 5-4 ruling. Mm-hmm. Yep. The U.S. Supreme Court gave Ohio a victory Monday in a fight over the state's method for removing people from its voter rolls. A practice civil rights groups say discourages minority turnout, because a lot of people only vote in every 4 years in the general election.
Correct.
And what they're trying to do is make it so that if you haven't voted in what they consider to be enough time, they get to purge you from the voter rolls. It says Professor Rick Hansen, an election expert, law expert at University of California Irvine, predicted that a win for Ohio would escalate voting wars between political parties. You'll see more red states making it easier to drop people from voter registration rolls, he said. All states have procedures for removing from their registration list the names of people who have moved and therefore are no longer eligible to vote in a given precinct. The issue before the Supreme Court was whether a voter's decision to sit out a certain number of elections could be the trigger for that effort. Justice Samuel Alito, who wrote the majority opinion, said the court's job was not to decide whether Ohio's supplemental process is the ideal method for keeping its voter rolls up to date. The only question before us is whether it violates federal law, and it does not. Ohio election officials send notices to anyone who fails to cast a ballot during a two-year period. People who do not respond and don't vote over the next 4 years, including in two more federal elections, are dropped from the list of registered voters.
Yeah, so y'all trying to get rid of people, basically, because like they said, they know most people vote every 4 years. Most people don't vote in a little small elections. Most people don't even, a lot of people don't even vote for the mayor, senator, congressman, dog catcher. Most people don't vote for that shit.
A federal court appeals court ruled against the state in that situation when they did that, concluding that roughly 7,500 voters in Ohio, a state that's perennially a presidential background, were wrongfully purged in the 2016 election. So I guess if you are purged, you just can't vote. I don't know. Do you petition for your right to vote again? Right. How does that work?
Reapply. Like every time we move, I always just re-register to vote again at the new address.
Yeah. And I never do. They just do it automatically. Like I go up there and they already know, like, this is your address. They do keep up with this shit, but it's just interesting that, you know, in this state, apparently, Ohio, if you don't actually go out and vote, you basically lose the right to vote.
Right, and they know that most of the general populace, and my thing is this, and what really makes me angry, if you want people to vote, like they really don't want people to vote as much as people know. They don't want you to vote, because what they did is certain elections, like particularly when the president would actually be a fucking federal holiday, people would have the day off work, they would allow you to go vote on that day. They don't give a fuck. Most people can't take the time off work. A lot of people, their hours won't allow them to go early that morning and go late on that night. Like I said, and I guess for me, because I could say, I don't want to say that's my fear, because I don't ever want to be washed off of the registration to vote, so I just re-register, even though, like you said, here in North Carolina, I haven't had that problem, but I just make to do that.
Yeah, I find it interesting as all, because I've never done that, and they always keep up with it, so they're capable of keeping up with it.
If they want
to. Like, they can use your driver's license, your mailing address, a bunch of shit to make sure that you know, like, and if I go online and go, like, even when we moved the first time, I'll go online and I go, hey, look for my name, where do I go vote, and they have it in there, like, here you go vote at this location, and it'll be the closest one to our house. So but what I find interesting, it's always a Republican-led effort to keep people not voting.
Come on.
And they're doing it any way possible, and it's a logical fallacy to me that when I meet people that, you know, white people don't want to vote, I really don't give a fuck about them, but people have, it did not take long for black people in this country, and I guess it's a privilege, I guess at some point, to adjust to the right to vote in a way that basically makes it seem like it doesn't matter that people die for people to vote. It doesn't matter that, like, if you bring it up, you're the asshole to say, like, people die for my right to vote and I'm gonna use it.
And
it's like, wow, you trying to guilt me into voting or something? Right. I'm like, no, it's a fact. People literally did give their lives for the right to vote for black people. Like, it's not some arbitrary thing that I'm saying.
I'm not making this shit up.
Yeah, they knew that there was a possibility they would die in these southern states and Mississippi and shit to give people the right to vote. and they did die. Some of them did die. People were beaten and shit, and I you know, it's an emotional thing for me, and I'm not ashamed of that. You know, I think, you know, the logical part just says, I also, you should vote just because it's one of the few tools we have that we know can actually work. But in general, like, you know, people will admonish folks for being like, as a black person, feeling some sort of like being beholden to your ancestors and to the people that gave their lives for the right to vote. But even if you weren't gonna reach that far back, and it's not an emotional thing, it's kind of weird that we know that Republicans are actively trying to make sure black people specifically don't vote, and there's still black people kind of aiding and abetting them, like, yeah, don't vote, or it don't matter to me, it's all the same, or, you know, nothing's good enough for me, so I just stay home like they want me to. It's weird that we've gotten there, and now we have a country where the Supreme Court, because people didn't go out vote in 2016, not enough, voted for their own interest. We now have a Supreme Court that literally does encourage states to, they won't get in the way of people saying we can't vote. Like, you had the Voting Rights Act get struck down,
right,
in the last 10 years. And now you have this. Like, it's a hostile environment. I mean, what's going to happen next? They're going to be able to start putting people at the polls and intimidate us again? Like,
come on, they're going to start making people take literacy tests and all that bullshit again?
Right. I have no idea what the fuck is happening, but this idea of, you don't use your right to vote, you lose it. And, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's just wild to see this happen in my lifetime. What, 40 years after we had, you know, 50 years after we had civil rights protest and stuff for the right to vote, it's like people have already kind of taken it as a given and decided, well, it doesn't help anything.
Because my thing is this, I think that once you become the age of 18, you should automatically be registered to vote in your state, period. You shouldn't have to do anything. You should pop up in the system and somebody say, okay, based on, you know, whatever information that I have, you're 18, you're in our system. But you don't do that. So since you don't do that, people that actually register to vote, you're trying to watch the people that actually say they want to register to vote.
What I'm thinking is going to be next is they're going to start putting up stuff to intimidate brown people, like Latinx people, Mexican people, that are coming, that are legal citizens, that have the right to vote. They're going to start doing shit, questioning their citizenship,
right,
and making it seem like, we're going to try to find a way to make sure you can't vote, or, you know, you're going to risk some type of background check or something. I think that Republicans have no fucking floor. They have no floor. They'll do anything to make sure you can't vote. And this is why it's so important to exercise the right to vote. You know, because of shit like this, this was on the ballot. Like, I can't, you know, net neutrality today also died.
Right.
This shit was on the ballot. You know, you can't wait till you fucking, you know, all your bills are going up and be like, I can't believe they doing this. I cut the cord for Netflix, and now my with my Netflix and my Hulu and shit, it costs as much as getting cable anyway. Yeah, because you gave them the right to fuck you. You know, you didn't think it mattered. You didn't think it was important. Now you're fucked. Not to mention, most of us get our news and information via the internet now.
Correct.
You know, like, it's just wild. And with net neutrality, nobody truly knows what the fuck it's gonna turn into.
And that's the scary fucking part. That's what makes me nervous. Nobody's gonna know what rules they're gonna put in place, what regulations they're gonna put in place, what they're gonna cut, what they're gonna slash, how much more you're going to have to pay. Nobody knows, almost like a fucking wait and see.
Speaking of voting, the DNC panel adopted a rule requiring candidates to run and serve as a Democrat. Yeah, this shit should have been happening.
Right. Fuck Bernie.
Right. I mean, and also, though, the RNC should have some shit like this, too. Like,
correct.
I mean, honestly, both parties have fought to gain the inroads and the amount of voters that they have and the issues that those voters have. No independent should be able to come in and usurp a party. That was a horrible misstep in 2016 for that party. I think it's in part why they lost.
Yes.
I mean, we literally have covered on this show people that went from Bernie to Donald Trump, because as far as they were concerned, it was just about anybody but Hillary. those people should never be a part of your, if they're not even willing to consider voting for whoever wins the nomination, why the fuck are they over here? You know, it's like those places that have open primaries, but they only want to open where you want them. You know, like, it's kind of, it can be ridiculous because people can come in and sabotage your own shit and you're not actually getting a voice of the people in your party that have done the work for your party.
Right. And then people act like something's wrong with you when you be like, this person isn't a part of the party. Whoa, whoa. But they're fucking not a part of the party. They don't contribute. They don't do nothing. They do their own thing. And then when it's time to vote, they run off our backs, but then won't give or support none of the candidates.
Yeah. They, like Bernie runs on his issues, but you know, one of the reasons that Hillary was able to win, in addition to just being more popular than this nigga, but one of the reasons she won and she was so supported, she supported down ballot people. Like, she understood the responsibility of, if I'm running, that means I have to take care with the money from our campaign, everybody. I don't just get to be like, it's my money, my votes, my shit, fuck everybody. If I, no matter how I get the money, it has to go to everybody, because we need to make a surge as a Democratic party. We need local people in it winning their elections. We need you know, I need to be endorsing candidates that have a chance to win in some of these hard won states, these hard fought states. You don't get that from a guy who's like, I'm not one of y'all. I do what I want to when I want to.
Right.
And so even if Bernie would have won, it was still gonna be a red country. It was still gonna be you know, him trying to basically do presidential decrees from on high to make the country do whatever. And honestly, after the way we've seen how Obama was treated and the way his executive orders were considered to be so blasphemous, they weren't gonna do anything different with Bernie. They weren't gonna listen to him and be like, well, we'll obey his executive orders. Like, nah, that's actually not how our country's not meant to be dictated or run like a kingdom. Like the reason that Trump is able to get so many of his initiatives through is not because he can just decree it. It's because no one will stand in his way, because our country has elected a bunch of bigots who agree with him.
Right.
They might not be as silly and stupid enough to come out and say it the way he says it,
but they agree.
But you think Paul Ryan don't agree with most of the things out of his mouth? He does.
Right.
You know, Mitch McConnell, those people agree with that dude. So he, John McCain even.
Right.
The most vocal, quote unquote, Republican person that disagrees, literally agrees with that dude on everything else. So this is going down by design. This isn't, oh, look at him coming in dictating this to everybody. No, this is what Republicans have secretly wanted for years. He's just the only one that is foolhardy enough to put his name on the negative, bigoted things that he wants to pass. But they don't want those brown people in our country. They don't want Muslims in our country. They don't want black people doing well. They don't like
want women to have rights.
Yeah, they think people that come from countries in Africa are shithole countries. They think the same things as him. They just would never say this, and that's why his shit is passing. That's why, because no one can challenge it. No one will go veto that shit. No, fuck you. Like, everybody's kind of like, well, yeah, we kind of do want that. You know, and there's not enough people thought it was important to put Democrats in charge of their states or, God forbid, the presidency, to mitigate any of this. So it's just being run and roughshod. And honestly, depending on what these primaries and these midterms do, might be two more years of this, at least, if not eight, if not six.
Right.
It hasn't even been 2 years of Trump.
Oh, I feel like it's fucking forever.
Hasn't even been 2 years. Anyway, yeah, they DNC basically gearing up for 2020 was like,
you can't
just come in and use our shit.
You can't use our resources. You can't use our money. You can't use our platform. No, and I don't blame them. This was a smack in the face for him. Go, no, we're not going to have you tie us up, run too long. Just a bunch of bullshit. You went I, stay I. In fact, this will actually cause other parties to pop up and do fucking something. The Green Party, Independent Party, start your own party and do some shit.
Yeah, not to mention, I mean, to run on the animosity towards your party within your party is some high key divisive shit that is, you're never gonna win because it's not gonna be enough animosity to float you to a win. But more importantly, you will hurt the party. Like, you will hurt the chances of the party to win in general. Like, that's pretty ridiculous. Like, you can do one, like, you can run and be like, I don't like my opponent, but you can't run and be like, fuck this whole party, I'm putting my feet on the couch. You're going to lose, because even if you, if that candidate were to win, they will have burned so many bridges to win. You're gonna have people that's like, I can't support you, dog. You're not one of us. We didn't vote for this, you know. So it was just gonna be hard either way. But you know hopefully this time he won't be able to declare Democrat and then undeclare Democrat the second that he loses,
right?
It drops out the race. That's such bullshit. Like, it's one of the reasons that so many of his bills and shit never passed, is because he's not capable of bridging some sort of cooperation within the party, because he's out for himself at all times.
Right.
Speaking of voting, how important it is. Catalan village women vote for topless bathing after a fight at the pool.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Women in the village near Barcelona have voted to go topless in public swimming pools, scrapping a local ban. The vote in La Ametella? Oh no, there's no Ella. Good. There we go. It's French. Went 61% for topless bathing, 39% against. Who are the hating ass motherfuckers that went against?
They don't like titties.
The Catalan local authority organized the vote, whose result is legally binding for women age 16 and above, and 379 people took part in the vote. Women pressed for the vote after the police turned up at one of the pools last summer and ordered two women to put on bikini tops. A lifeguard had reported them to police. Oh, what a snitch. Ma'am, put your titties away. No running on by the pool.
They're like, well, we pass a law to say we can. Fuck y'all.
Mm-hmm. The case prompting an original protest by villagers supporting the women. Bathers, women and men went to the pool wearing bikini tops on which they had drawn nipples. The village has 8,000 inhabitants. Yeah, it's 22 miles north of Barcelona. Yeah.
That's funny.
That's why voting matters, guys. We were just telling y'all.
That's why vote matters.
Every vote.
Because titties matter.
Right? Those titties would still be in cages if it wasn't for...
Do you know how many women would actually go braless and topless if they were really allowed to?
A lot, probably.
Fuck a bra.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. How about this one? A salmonella outbreak has been linked to pre-cut melon. First they came for the romaine lettuce and I said nothing.
Wow.
And now they hit me right where I live.
Watermelon season down here.
Mm-hmm.
Buy watermelon off the back of the trucks.
The 8 states have been affected. Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Michigan, Missouri, North Carolina, and Ohio. Mm-hmm. 60 people were infected by the outbreak and 31 were hospitalized.
Oh, damn. Shit.
No deaths have been reported. Most of the ill people told officials they had eaten pre-cut cantaloupe, watermelon, or fruit salad mix with melon they had purchased from grocery stores. The outbreak is linked to Indianapolis-based Kaito Foods LLC. It recalled fresh-cut watermelon, honeydew melon, cantaloupe, and fresh-cut medley products from its facility.
Well, I guess buying the watermelon off the back of the Ford Tough truck is where it is.
The CDC said the recall products were sold in clear plastic containers at Costco, JC, Kroger, Payless.
Payless shoes? Who bought watermelon at Payless shoes? And why is watermelon served in plastic containers?
Let me get some Jordache basketball shoes and one of them pre-cut melons, please.
Mm-mm. Buying no watermelon for Payless.
Can I get some hoops and some cantaloupe?
Mm-mm. Their motto is like, you could pay more, but why? So why are you buying watermelon?
Owens, Sprouts, Trader Joe's. What? I thought y'all was supposed to be fancy.
I know.
This would never happen at Whole Check.
Mm-mm.
Actually, Walgreens, Walmart. I mean, come on, you get what you pay for. And Whole Foods / Amazon. So actually, it did happen at Whole Foods. Mm-hmm. Do not eat recalled products. Check your fridge and freezer for them and throw them away or return them to the place of purchase for refunds. The CDC warned customers. So if y'all got some melon, and I know if you listen to this show, you might have some melon in your fridge, if you know what I'm saying.
It's that time of the year.
You might want to take it back for a refund, guys.
Watermelon, cantaloupe, you name it.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what else is happening that I feel like talking about. Matter of fact, no. Let's just go to the next section. Let's go to,
let's just go to the next section?
No, nah, I mean, it's just, I'm gonna save some of these articles for later in the week.
Okay.
I don't want to burn through them all today. Let's do some, fucking with black people. Just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe. We find different articles make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right, let's see who's fucking with us now. A racist Missouri waitress was fired after a nigger hunting video.
Oh!
I guess she'll be hunting for a new job. A Jefferson County woman filmed in one of the most racist redneck Missouri scenes imaginable was fired from her South County waitressing gig today after the video went viral. In a clip, 20-year-old Tabitha Tabby Duncan, with a Michelob Ultra in hand, rides atop a truck as it rambles down a road in the dark. It's pretty standard small town idiocy until a mostly off camera narrator starts in with some jarring racism. All right, let me see if I can hear this. They had a narrator, the production value.
Hey, so we going nigger hunting today or what? Fuck you nigger hunting right now, huh?
You get them niggers.
Look at my soon to be sister-in-law.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Wow, you put her dead on blast, but put her right on camera. I mean, it's definitely her. And she look, her makeup make her look like a clown. This is ridiculous. Yeah, they're going nigger hunting in the video.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
yeah, people really do that.
Yep. Look at my soon to be sister-in-law, also my cousin and actual sister, my aunt. Yeah, so they say we're going nigger hunting today or what? Or what? I mean, what happened to or what, y'all? Could y'all not just go check a movie out? Another idiot in a baseball cap says, we're going nigger hunting. Narrator, we're going fucking nigger hunting right now, huh? And then Duncan chimes in, you get them niggers. See, that's how these white queens be supporting their men. Okay, why can't our sisters support the black kings like this? Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You see how she just jumped right in line of the patriarchy.
Mm-hmm.
You think when she gets a black table, she's able to you know, mm-hmm, treat them the same ideas as she treats white tables?
Mm-hmm.
Think she'd be working at Southbound?
She probably
we does. Come in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we won't be serving them niggers.
Yep. I don't know why racist people, they should have never gave racist people Snapchat. It ain't doing nothing but leading the unemployment rate. I don't know what's wrong with them.
They, I don't know, Snapchat is the devil to them because they'll just do shit and disrespect nobody. And imagine the shit that goes unseen, because I guarantee you a lot of shit they do goes unseen. So a lot of them are shocked when people, when it goes viral.
Well, also there's just nothing you can put on a fucking internet that's not gonna get out.
Correct.
Something this stupid. You go nigger hunting, girl. There's a lot of terribleness of the 15-second Snapchat, horrifying enough that someone snatched the video and unleashed it on Facebook. Social media sleuths quickly identified Duncan as a waitress at Social Bar and Grill, and they gave the address and the phone number. That led to a pretty energetic social media campaign to fire Duncan. Social, a restaurant based in South, restaurant, so it's like, Hooters. Had previously featured Duncan prominently in a number of his social media posts. Shortly before the lunch, the bar pulled down a Facebook post and issued a statement announcing that she had been canned. Social Bar and Grill and its owners have recently become aware of a vow discussing an offensive video made by one of its employees. Upon learning of this, Social Bar and Grill immediately terminated this employee as soon as they could reach her. The incendiary comments made by this employee absolutely does not reflect. I want one of the companies to be like, actually, their views do kind of reflect what we about here at IHOP. We we like nigger hunting, to be quite honest with you.
Right. We just won't tell y'all. She just publicly, you know, let it out. And I wonder what is, we, as soon as we got in touch with her immediately, that mean when she showed up for a shift?
Well, they put an exclamation mark, so I'm assuming as soon as she answered the phone. You know, it's funny too, though. It's like, if this happened at Denny's, they'd be like, the next nigger hunt brought to you by Denny's.
Come on.
Come on down.
Let it be Waffle House. Get you an all-star breakfast while you go nigger hunting.
Don't you go hunting on an empty stomach.
Yeah, don't they call it a slam breakfast or some shit like that?
Grand
slam breakfast while you slam them niggers head to the ground.
We're gonna leave niggas scattered, chunked, covered.
Come on! Smother, do whatever you want to do to them.
Come down to Waffle House, nigger hunt 2018.
Come on. I know, we'll even give you an extra waffle with a 2-for-1 nigger catch.
And then, the U.S. Air Force, I guess, put out a statement. Why did they put out a statement? Oh, she's a reserve airman? Or is he a reserve airman?
What?
Yeah, so Duncan's personal Facebook previously included some pro-Trump memes. Anyone surprised?
Mm-mm.
I mean, who could have possibly seen this one coming? You telling me she is pro-Trump? Well, if you don't get out of here, I don't believe it. I need to see the post for myself, Karen. I can't possibly buy this. Oh, it's storming outside.
I know, right? I'm about to say, what, they got them bullets out there?
Bitch, I'm gonna kill you.
No.
God, listen to Eminem right now. Then it said also she had a meme that demeaned NFL players for kneeling during the national anthem.
No shit.
But I'm sure she'd tell you if you argue with her on social media on her page, I don't have a racist bone in my body. Right?
Nobody, apparently nowadays, nobody's racist.
It's not racist at all, guys. Okay, I just disagree with them kneeling, because I think you should respect the flag. Also, nigger hunting. Right? Kind of interesting that those go hand in hand. It's just a very interesting way that the racist person just happened to hate the flag and love Trump.
Come on.
I don't understand. Why is that gotta be a thing? Anyway, so she shut down her page after she posted it. She shared a quotation about everyone making mistakes.
That's a mistake.
I guess I don't make mistakes. I guess that's what we're finding out. The quotation, which apparently originated on a different page, reads, "Everyone makes mistakes in life, but that doesn't mean they have to pay for them the rest of their life. / sometimes good people make bad choices. It doesn't mean they are bad." Nina would be so pissed at the random commas in this fucking statement.
And the slashes and shit. What's happening with
What are you doing, ma'am? By the way, I don't know why the Air Force made a statement. She must be a reserve airman.
That's what they were saying. She is.
Okay, she made racially insensitive comments. We're looking into the matter. We appreciate this being brought to our attention. The U.S. Air Force values diversity and inclusion. Our airmen come together to produce an incredible team that kills a bunch of brown people overseas, but not here.
You ask the people that served.
Look, we're supposed to kill the other type of niggers, okay?
We treat the ones that are here badly sometimes, too.
Right? Not the domestic ones. Come on now. 0 to 100, can her?
100. I guess she couldn't lose that $313 an hour.
I give it 100 as well. An officer says a black woman who's a lawmaker who was just going to work stopped her. He said no. Why? Because you don't look like a legislator.
What the fuck does legislator look like?
Not a black woman. Not a 32-year-old black woman, apparently. State Representative Amelia Sykes. Is that why he said it? He said, "Psych, you ain't no legislator. Get out of here." Was walking to work in the Ohio State House last year with a fellow lawmaker when she was stopped by security. Officers needed to search her bag, she was told. Sykes is serving her third year as a Democratic State Representative from Akron. who she is also a 32-year-old black woman. Her colleague, who was not searched, is a 65-year-old white man who has served the legislature for many years. Sykes said she questioned why her bag needed to be searched when that was a protocol. Lawmakers only need a badge to gain access to the state house or the nearby Rife Center, which houses many lawmaker offices. Her colleague told the trooper Sykes was a member of the Ohio House. She was told, "You don't look like a legislator." The trooper then clarified, "You look too young." Well, you know, black don't crack. So, I mean, I can see that, you know. On Wednesday, Sykes had trouble getting into the Rife Center for a meeting. She flashed a badge for security there. Security said they couldn't see the badge. She flipped it around. They still couldn't see it. She was stopped. The officers examined the badge. Sykes recalls the next day. In both scenarios, she eventually was able to get into the building and go to work, but not every lawmaker faces the same scrutiny, she said. Well, I guess the badge thing, I mean, maybe she looked too young to have a badge too. Is that, why couldn't y'all read her badge?
Yeah, and you be wrong for showing your ass because you're just trying to get to work.
And it's that very insidious form. I don't know that it's racist. If I told somebody the story, they could give me 15 explanations for why it's not racist.
Everybody else,
they didn't come out call me a nigger. They didn't say, all I noticed was every other white person got in. All I noticed was I had the same credentials. They shouldn't have checked my bag. It happened to me twice on different days. They couldn't read my badge for some fucking reason. But if I were to say, I think this is because I'm black, well, now I'm being a victim. Yeah, I am playing the black card, the race card, right? That's how they get you. Mm-hmm. Sykes said she initially reported her concerns to then Speaker Cliff Rosenberger and the House Sergeant at Arms. Rosenberg, who is under investigation by the FBI, resigned last month. What the fuck? That's some bad luck for her. He's like, oh, I would help you, dog, but did you see any police out there on your way in?
They might be coming to get me. Can I have your badge?
Is there any men in suits? I might need you to sneak me out the back, to be honest with you. But I got you, though. I'm going to raise this concern first thing in the morning when I come back. When I'm never coming back. I'm never coming back. But yeah, that nigga was in trouble. On Thursday, House spokesman Brad Miller said the interim speaker would follow up with Sykes and the Ohio Department of Administrative Services, which oversees Rife Center security. The incidents would be taken very seriously. The Ohio State, they just gonna go up, sir, did you do it? Officer, did you do it because she's black? No, she just looked very young and I couldn't read the badge the next day. Well, open and shut case. We took it very seriously. The end.
That should be fucking fired.
The Ohio State Highway Patrol, which oversees state house security, scheduled a meeting with her on Friday. The Ohio Department of Administrative Services was not scheduled to join the meeting. Sykes is not alone. In another incident, Representative Alicia Reese said she once forgot her badge in her office and aide ran the badge down to her, but security still questioned whether the badge belonged to Reese, even though her photo was on it.
Yeah, most of the time they do have their photo and their name and everything else attached with it.
Maybe it's one of those picture day school photo cameras. You know how it make all black people look like shadows? Maybe that's the problem. Maybe they need to update their photo technology in Congress. Reese, who has been a legislator since 2010, previously led Ohio Black Legislative Caucus, said the goal of increasing security in the government buildings was to keep people safe, not to lock out state lawmakers. Well, how are we gonna keep them safe if we just let any black person in? So that's the thing about safety, man. Safety to white folks in America mean
no brown treating
black people like shit. We somehow are the ones deemed unsafe, though we ain't never enslaved nobody, ain't took nobody land, and haven't started no wars. Apparently we the unsafe ones in America. You know, they just scared we looking for revenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why they go buy them fucking guns.
Yeah, she suspects the problems have been worse recently because added security guards are less familiar with members of the Ohio House.
Mm-mm, they're racist, baby.
Yeah, they less familiar with just the black ones, though.
Versus somebody else who probably ain't got no business in there, probably walk right past their asses and nobody ain't asked for no badge for the first.
They need a reverse. You know how you go to you guys don't remember this unless you're a certain age, but like at the local video store when they used to have those, they always just have like a picture, don't rent movies to this nigga, because
it's
always somebody
up on the wall.
It's always somebody to just steal movies and shit. They need to have a reverse one of those where it's like, let this person in. Oh, it's her. Okay, come on in, ma'am. I'm sorry, we just
right. Do we need a list of all the niggers and brown people so you won't be rejecting them?
Y'all look alike to me, and I just got confused. I'm so sorry about this one. I just need a picture of just profile of
and it would
people.
Be like a wall. Someone would have like a wall full of pictures. You know how you have like missing persons? That's the fuck it would look like. It wouldn't be missing persons, but like don't serve to these people.
We actually have like my phone opens up every time I look at it. It goes, oh, that's Rod. Just put one of those phones at the date and save yourself some time, white people that can't recognize black people.
Come on.
Anyway, 0 to 100.
100.
Yeah, it's 100.
Man, you would walk through and they would still tell you that the shit fucked up.
You know what? I'm gonna give it a 75. I'm gonna give it a 75. I've been doing that a lot lately. I've been just throwing hundreds out because I'd be annoyed. But I'm gonna give this a 75 on the off chance that they not racist and they just can't tell black people apart and they just don't know how to help themselves. Okay. You know, I would say that I would, you know, oh no, fuck that. It's racist not to be able to tell people of a certain race apart. And I feel you black people that are saying that. But I have the same fucking problem with white women. So I actually live this life. I have this disability or whatever it's called. And y'all can't relate to it because y'all can tell Kristen Dunst from fucking like Gwyneth Paltrow and I can't. So it's easy for you to say that it's racism. But there's a 20, you know, I give them that one slight chance that they just have some facial black blindness.
And you know what? I too have this problem, so I'm gonna drop it down to 75.
No, you don't have to do like me. I'm just doing it for myself. Well,
mine is still 100 then, but I do have this problem. They have like a phone commercial with a boy K-pop band, and it's like 8 of them, and all of them look the fucking same.
Why are you doing this? Why would you do that?
Why? They look the same.
Why? Jesus.
So
I'm moving on. White man, please guilty. White man, please guilty to enslaving mentally disabled black worker. I'm so sorry, our Asian listeners. Okay, I'm super sorry. I told you she was racist.
But they they do that commercial.
No,
all,
they don't.
They look
don't.
The same.
They don't look the same, guys. It's distinctly 7 different motherfuckers. I watch the same commercial, guys. Okay. There's a difference between, now see what I said was, I get these white women confused. I know they not the same. They just look the same to me.
Oh, I know they're
you,
not the
no,
same.
No, you said they all look the same. Beyonce wouldn't be cool with this. Give me the sweater back.
No!
What is going on? You're gonna ruin our brand. This is how people get canceled, just like this.
I just
Cancel Karen gonna be trending tomorrow because you guys say something racist about Asian
y'all
people.
Know nobody gets canceled. I'll be back.
White man, please.
Black woman at tip. I'll be back.
White man, please, guilty to enslaving mentally disabled black worker.
I'll put out a PR press, and y'all gonna love me again.
Moving on. A white man, please, guilty to enslaving mentally disabled black worker. This motherfucker had a slave, y'all. A white South Carolina restaurant manager. Oh, he managed a restaurant has pleaded guilty to abusing and enslaving a mentally challenged black employee. How did no one else notice? Bobby Paul Edwards of Conway pleaded guilty Monday to one count of forced labor, according to acting assist. First of all, forced labor is a, it's not just called slavery. That's
right. One count of slavery, illegal slavery.
According to acting assistant attorney general John Gore of the U.S. Justice Department Civil Rights Division, and South Carolina U.S. Attorney Sherry A. Linden, between 2009 and 2014, but slavery's what? Over, guys. Prosecutors said that he admitted to using violence, threats, isolation, and intimidation to compel a man with an intellectual disability to work more than 100 hours a week without pay.
What?
Authorities have said that Edwards used force and threats to force John Christopher Smith to work as a J&J cafeteria cook from 2009 until 2014. How people were just coming in like, man, that guy's always here.
Didn't he think twice about it?
When do you get off? Court documents describe beatings with a belt, choking, slapping, punching with a closed fist, and burning with tongs used in hot grease. You sadistic motherfucker. What a sadistic, inhumane motherfucker. Smith has been diagnosed with delayed cognitive development resulting in an intellectual functioning significantly below average. In a lawsuit against Edwards and the restaurant owner, who is Edwards' brother, Smith said he wasn't paid or given time off or benefits. How does the brother not know? He should go to jail too. The suit also accused Edwards of repeated abuse, saying he hit Smith with objects including a frying pan and forced him to work so to the point that the man was so weak he had to be carried home. Records show Edwards was later dismissed from the lawsuit. How? Edwards faced up to 20 years in prison and $250,000 in fines when he sentenced later, as well as a mandatory restitution to Smith. His attorney didn't respond to an email seeking comment on the case. Only 20 years in prison for that. 100, by the way.
Mm-hmm, 100.
Yeah, that's why I said I gotta stop giving them all 100s, because shit like that, that's 100 for real. All right, let's move on. Let me see what else we got here. Let's do some trash. We haven't done the trash in a minute. I gotta scroll up to that sound effect and I gotta remember to turn it down.
Mm-hmm.
I need to re-record this at a lower volume, but I've been lazy. I'll get to it soon. But yeah, taking out the trash is the same where we talk about, you know, all the trash ass behavior going on, you know, like sexually and shit, and in the industry of Hollywood, music, entertainment, all these places, Me Too movement, all that stuff. And we, take out the trash. Me Too questions take over Bill Clinton's book tour.
Hmm.
Yeah, so Bill Clinton has a book coming out where him and some dude wrote a new fiction thriller.
Mm-hmm. He didn't think this was gonna happen.
Apparently not, Karen. Apparently not. On Sunday, Sunday morning, he was asked about the New York Senator Kristen Gillibrand's comment last year that he should have resigned over the Monica Lewinsky scandal. Clinton told CBS that he disagreed and that Gillibrand was living in a different context and made the comment for different reasons. Basically trying to say it's political, like she just politically targeted me, which I mean is the same excuse like R. Kelly gives, you know what I mean? Yeah, I think it is Gillibrand. Anyway, on Monday morning, NBC News Craig Melvin questioned Clinton relentlessly over whether he owed Monica Lewinsky a personal apology for his involvement with the then White House intern. Now, this part always feels weird to me because I don't know that I feel like that's a question you could just as easily ask of Monica Lewinsky if she wants that, rather than to kind of try to make him publicly, you really want him to publicly personally apologize to her, if you know what I'm saying. You want him to like be like, oh, I did privately apologize, or I will go and privately call her and apologize for what I did to her and all this shit. And I know how a lot of people are thinking. They're like, well, it was a 22-year-old girl that is an adult. She's an intern. Yes, he's a powerful man, but she chose to suck that dick, guys. This isn't the same as, you know, like R. Kelly or something like that, and I understand that. But here's the thing. There's the power dynamics of it.
Right.
This nigga is the president. But besides just the power dynamics of it, which, you know, I understand are kind of murky, he then just tried to destroy her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, him and his wife kind of participated in the destruction of this woman's,
life
through, you know, I mean, these are very powerful people to then turn against you. You know what I mean? Because it wasn't that he said, well, we had an affair, it was consensual, and then she turned around and said, no, he raped me. That wasn't what happened. And we've played those voicemails on here. She sounded like she, I don't know, she was dumb enough to think she was in love with this nigga.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, is a common thing of young people fucking with old people.
She's like, 22.
Yeah, old people been there before, they know what to say. But they didn't have to turn around. You know, he lied, said we didn't have I did not have sexual relations with that woman. So you had that shit, which was a clear lie. And you had a lot of people that, you know, Linda Tripp, like, that were older to her, that were kind of using her, for their own, like, purposes.
Right.
His, to get his dick sucked and to humidify his, fucking cigars or some shit. And, Linda Tripp, to try to sell the story to the news. She recorded the conversations they had. And then to turn around and have, like, a very powerful figures in our government turn around and try to destroy your entire reputation as some sort of lying, manipulative, woman that's just trying to destroy the president for no fucking reason, while there's DNA on your dress, which it is nasty to keep that dress, but still, that is proof that he did the shit. Like, semen don't just get on everybody's dress by accident.
No, it don't.
And I think it just happened at a time where our country wasn't as, prepared to talk about it because, there was no Me Too movement back then.
No, it wasn't.
The idea of, it was so polarizing with Bill Clinton as president because Republicans were trying to find any and every way to discredit him and to take him down and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But Bill Clinton also was a serial, he was accused of being a serial, assaulter and harasser of women,
mm-hmm.
being sexually inappropriate all the way up to rape. So this mm-hmm. is not some dude that is, it's just for the quote unquote greater good. A lot of people wanted to promote him as, oh, this feminist president that really gets it. He's really a good ally and all this shit. And, you know, if you do bring up that stuff, it's like, oh, he's just a dirty dog. He's a dirty dog just getting around, getting to these girls. You know how it is. And yeah, I remember, CBS had interviewed, a couple of the women on 60 Minutes. And it's like, yeah, if that shit would have happened in 2018, 2016.
Fried them.
He would have been done. Like, he would have had to resign. Like, these women were like, yo, this motherfucker put his dick on me and, you know, shit, like, try to put my hand on his penis and all this type of shit that we, you know, in the 90s, people were like, oh, what's he not supposed to get no pussy just because he's president? Look at his wife. You know, shit like that, those that you can just mock and make jokes about. Nah, that shit don't fly now. And so times have changed, and now he's dealing with a reckoning that he probably never foresaw even having to deal with.
Right.
So much so
that he wasn't even prepared.
He would put a book out in 2018 and not be prepared for
and not address it up front. Nothing,
not even prepared for it to come up. That
nope. And nobody on his team, nobody on his marketing team was like, hey, before you do this, you need to address this and say, you know, we say, hey, I've commented on that, revert back to my Twitter or something. Like you said, he just walked out there like he was just gonna swag his way through shit, and people's like, no, we got these questions, dog.
I mean, the amount of hubris you have to have to think you could pull that off, or that people are just gonna be polite enough not to ask you. You're not a sitting president at this point. The campaign is over, so the people that were being kind out of like some type of like, well, look, your wife is the one running, not you, so we just like, we understand you're a piece of shit, but ain't really no point in talking to you about it. Like, that shit is wild. Like, that he thought that that would continue while putting a fictional book out. Like, not, this even had nothing to do with politics, really. It's wild that he thought that that he could do this. Like, I don't know how the fuck he gonna continue legs of the book tour and expect not, because now that you have answered the questions badly and mm-hmm. being contentious and being like, it's about political motivation, the questions now are gonna keep coming.
Yes, they are.
So, yeah. He appeared flustered, angry, and unprepared for the line of questioning, an uncommon occurrence in the highly scripted world of book promotions. Publicists for high-profile clients and networks typically negotiate about what will be discussed. Two people familiar with the matter said that Clinton wasn't unprepared for the topic, but was angry with Melvin's style of driving at the issue that Clinton believes was sufficiently litigated. His style? I didn't think you were going to keep asking. I mean, I'm not guilty, okay? That's the end of it. It's like George Zimmerman going around like, I can't believe y'all keep asking me about this killing this dude. Like, yeah, we think you did it. That's the thing. Like,
it don't disappear.
Yeah, you might not have been found guilty in a court of law, but we think you did it, and we know you lied about that girl sucking your dick, so.
Come on, and like I said, it's a failure on the people that he's paying that nobody prepared him for this.
Yeah, so he hasn't been a public figure since the 2016 election, where they basically had to hide his ass because he was also the one that was mad when people brought up his criminal reform shit that turned up incarcerating more people, black and brown people specifically. And he, out of defensiveness, got mad at the people asking the questions. Like, oh, y'all want these savages out here with you? You know, basically. Like, y'all didn't want y'all crackheads out here on the streets back when I was in office. It's like, yeah, well, that's the exact wrong thing to say.
Right.
It don't even matter if it's true at this point. It just is it's a non-starter for your wife's campaign. And it's just bringing, and like, she's already trying to like get out of the muck of having you as her husband. This is not helping, you know. So yeah, man, it's some wild shit, bro. I really think there's nobody more powerful than this Me Too movement as far as being asked questions. Now, I'm not saying it can bring everybody down. It won't. I mean, it can't even bring Trump down. And ultimately, that's the ultimate male privilege, right? You can just go, I don't care. You know, like, cause see, that's the thing. A lot of the people that have stepped down have been willingly stepping down. It's been Al Franken. It's been people that just felt like, all right, I don't want to go to trial for this shit. It's getting too much. I'll tell you what, ladies, I will make a deal with you. I would just go live and be rich in my house and leave y'all alone. I would just stop grabbing pussies and go live on my ranch and y'all just do what the fuck y'all want. I'm gonna be mad about it and I'm acting like I'm the victim. But y'all win. And that has been a quote unquote win in the Me Too era.
Right.
Not incarceration, not,
no, people don't get jail time over this.
Yeah, not trials, not convictions, not, fines, not sanctions. It's been a lot of just like shaming, which can work, but it's sad that that's all a victory is. And Bill Clinton is basically gonna, my guess, thug it out and be like, I ain't got no shame. No shame in my game. George Takei accuser admits he wasn't sexually assaulted after all. This is an interesting one because I remember when we covered this last year on the show, I was like, kind of with all this Me Too accusation shit, everybody kind of has one where if a person accuses you of something, it's your word versus theirs. Everyone seems to kind of operate on some, maybe it's not true, maybe it is. But normally that one person speaks up and then a bunch of people speak up, and that's how you know, like, oh, this nigga did it. Seven people, you know, eight men.
Yeah, a lot of people are victims, yes.
Yeah, we haven't really seen a person, quote unquote, brought down over one person yet. Not saying this shouldn't happen or whatever. I just haven't seen it. It seemed like the unspoken rule of this shit. Well, last year he was accused of sexually assaulting a man in 1981. Now the accuser is saying that what happened wasn't quite sexual assault, and experts doubt key parts of his story. In an interview with the Hollywood Reporter in November, former model Scott Brunton said that after he met Takei at a gay bar in L.A., he went back to the actor's apartment to talk to his friends. Brunton and Takei said Takei served him two drinks. He felt dizzy after drinking him. He passed out, later woke up to Takei taking off his pants and groping his crotch. No, I don't want to do this, he said. He then drove home despite Takei protesting that he was too drunk to drive. While he didn't explicitly say that he was drugged in an interview with the Hollywood Reporter, several days later, he told the Oregonian that he was drugged. Okay. I know unequivocally he spiked my drink. It takes a lot more than two drinks to put me out, he said. Takei denied even knowing him. Shane Snow at the Observer interviewed Brunton extensively, talked to Brunton's acquaintances, got answers from experts as part of the month-long investigations. First, he talked to two toxicologists about the drug, and both of them ruled out a spiked drink. The most likely cause of his dizziness is not drug-related, said Lewis Nelson, the director of the medical toxicology at Rutgers, New Jersey Medical School. It sounds like postural hypotension, the dizzy feeling from standing up too quickly, exacerbated by alcohol. Both doctors said there weren't drugs at the time that would temporarily render someone dizzy and then be able to drive home minutes later. The known date rape drugs like Rohypnol, Quaaludes, and GHB incapacitate people for much longer. So basically, like, if he would have taken one of those drugs, he would not have been able to get up and leave and drive home. Okay. Brunton himself said he didn't think that he was drugged for decades, not until he heard about Bill Cosby using Quaaludes to rape women. I thought I was drunk. I didn't even start thinking that until years later when they started talking about date rape drugs and then Cosby and all. Then Snow looked into Brunton's accusation that he was groped without his consent. Brunton was interviewed several times in November. He told different stories to different media outlets. In some he was groped and groped, in others he wasn't. It turns out Brunton himself says he doesn't remember being groped. Ask him to clarify the issue. Did he touch your genitals? You know, probably, he replied after some hesitation. He was clearly on his way to going somewhere. We shared a pause. So you don't remember him touching your genitals? Brunton confessed that he did not remember any touching. What he does remember is Takai taking off his pants while he was drunk. Snow talked with gay historian Edward Guerin, who said that this was actually fairly common in the LA gay scene. In the early 80s, Takai could have taken Brunson's presence in his apartment as a sign he wanted to have sex, especially in the era when gay men avoided talking about their sexuality in public or even in private. Courtship rituals usually involve brief introductions, followed by going to one person's residence with the guest leaving after sex. There's nothing to prosecute here, former senior deputy district attorney Ambrosio Rodriguez told Snow. He said he was taking off someone's pants is making a move, and making a move is a crime if the instigator backs off when told no. People get drunk on dates and take off each other's pants all the time. Making a move itself is not a crime. But just because what happened was a legally actionable rape doesn't mean that there wasn't an aggression or just creepy. Brunton said he shared the story with several people immediately after it happened. Snow tracked down a few of them and found that he did not actually talk about sexual assault with these people. I know that he had met George Takei, but that's about all, said one of the friends Brunton said he confided in. Brunton's fiance at the time said that she remembered hearing about Takei, but didn't hear anything about an assault. In an interview with Snow, Brunton said the incident was not painful and it wasn't an attack, just an unwanted situation. It's just a very odd event. He felt betrayed because he thought Takai wanted to be his friend and then Takai hit on him. He was 20 years older than me and short, and I wasn't attracted to Asian men. If anything, he sounded more offended that Takai thought he had a chance with him. I was a hot surfer California boy type that he probably could have only gotten had he bought, paid, or found someone just willing to ride on his coattails of fame. Damn. That's some shade.
I'm a little racist.
Brian says he still wants an apology too. I just want him to apologize for taking advantage of our friendship. The guy did not take part in Snow's investigation. The Star Trek actor was made fun of on Saturday Night Live and by Donald Trump on Twitter, but he has not faced professional repercussions. This has been the worst thing to happen to George since the internment camps, a personal friend of Takai said. Shit. No one else has come forward with accusations about him. Brunton said he has also received negative comments on Facebook since coming forward. So I don't know, man. There you have it. That's as much as I know about it. But that's wild. Especially that part about him being Asian. Like, what does that have to do with anything? I guess. I don't know, man. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Because if it's more to the story, it's eventually will come out.
Yep. Speaking of more trash, Scarlett Johansson dines with Woody Allen. Because nobody gets canceled.
Nobody.
ScarJo out here.
People need to get a hold of her.
She stood by the Wood Man and caught flack for it in 2014 when the director's daughter Dylan claimed in an open letter that he had molested her. On Friday night at Com Prima on Madison Avenue, she had dinner with the auteur who directed her in Scoop, Match Point, and Vicky Cristina Barcelona. Also at the Italian eatery were The Sopranos director, creator David Chase, and Quarter to Three singer Gary U.S. Bonds. That's some wild shit. Jason Bateman. So they have Arrested Development, like season something
yeah, we've been stopped watching that years ago. I remember I used to love that show.
Oh, that show was so good when it started. I didn't watch it when they brought it back Netflix.
Me either.
I heard mixed reviews. I'm not knocking it. I haven't watched it to say it's bad or not, and I'm not boycotting. I just haven't watched it.
Right.
I have been watching Love though on Netflix, and guys, I like it. I like it a lot. Jason Bateman there was a New York Times interview where they were interviewing the cast, and one of the people on their cast is the same.
During an interview with the New York Times, the cast of Arrested Development.
I'm sorry, it's the same dude from Transparent. What is the name of that dude?
Yeah, I don't remember.
You know what I'm talking about?
He's like one of the main characters. Yeah,
right. He plays like the father and shit on the show. And so that dude, Jeffrey Tambor, that's his name. He's been accused of all sorts of harassment and stuff, and basically got kicked off of Transparent. But Netflix, who has been other pretty stringent in making sure that people that are accused of certain shit can't work there. You know, they were the people that got rid of Kevin Spacey. Mm-hmm. They were the people that got rid of Max Landis. They got rid of that dude from The Ranch, whatever his name was.
Mm-hmm.
But they had this guy come back and, you know, play the role for this season of Arrested Development. Jeffrey Tambor apparently was fine as far as they were concerned. Well, there was an interview with the New York Times, and they were asking Jessica Walter, who is a co-star of the series, about
now which character she plays. She plays the younger person.
I don't know. Let me Google it for you real quick. Before I fuck this up and say the wrong character.
The mom. Okay.
So she plays his wife.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So she, they were asking her, the conversation turned out to allegations against Tambor, who, a visibly distressed Jessica Walter admitted had harassed her verbally while on set of the TV series, which is preparing to return with its latest season on Netflix this month. In almost 60 years of working, I've never had anyone yell at me like that on the set, and it's hard to deal with, but I'm over it now, Walter said, when talk turned to what Tambor had previously referred to as a blow-up. Bateman defended Tambor during the discussion, saying it was part of his process, but Walter disagreed. Tony Hale similarly to Bateman noted that we all have our moments, to which Walter responded, not like that, that was bad. Since the interview, Bateman has come under fire for appearing to minimize and justify Tambor's past behavior in front of his crying co-star, saying that it was common to work with difficult people and that he had zero complaints. Yeah, so she was literally like to tears in this interview, and he was just kind of talking over her, trying to mansplain it. Again, not to belittle or excuse her or anything, but in the entertainment industry, it's incredibly common to have people who are, in quotes, difficult, Bateman had added. And when you're in a privileged position to hire people or have an influence in who gets hired, you make phone calls and you say, hey, so I heard X about person Y, and tell me about that. And what you learn is context, and you learn about character, and you learn about work habits, work ethics, and you start to understand, because it's a very amorphous process, this sort of shit that we do, you know, making up fake life is a weird thing, and it's a breeding ground for atypical behavior, and certain people have certain processes. Aaliyah Shawkat, who also co-starred with Tambor and Transparent, who had already publicly supported the voices of the victims, responded to her co-stars by saying, but that doesn't mean it's acceptable, and the point is that things are changing and people need to respect each other differently. Tambor was fired from the Amazon series earlier this year after his former assistant Van Barnes and co-star Trace Lissette accused him of sexual harassment and assault. In a series of tweets since Thursday, Bateman apologized for his actions, saying he was deeply sorry to have completely underestimated the feelings of Walter and that he was incredibly embarrassed. I sounded like I'm condoning yelling at work. I do not. I sound like I'm excusing Jeffrey. I do not. It sounds like I'm insensitive to Jessica. I am not. He said in part, he continued, this is a big learning moment for me. I shouldn't have tried so hard to mansplain to fix a fight or make everything okay. He also said there's never any excuse for abuse in any form from any gender, and the victim's voice needs to be heard and respected, period. I mean, after you just did the opposite, but okay.
Right.
Hale also took to Twitter to apologize for his part, saying that he reached out personally to Walter. Arrested Development is one of my families. Regardless of my intentions, it's clear to my words, both said and unsaid, sir, to minimize Jessica's pain, and for that, I am extremely sorry. I mean, I guess it's good they apologize and shit, but I mean, no one's gonna, you know how it is with apologies on social media. Once you fuck up, nobody's gonna accept it anyway. And how can you know if they really sorry or not? You know, it's a lot of I statements in that apology, which if you're gonna own the apology, you are gonna end up saying I a lot. But it's almost like Bateman was on some like, I will learn from my mistakes that I have done here.
That meant somebody got a hold of you, but like, don't fuck up your money.
Yeah, well, also like, he clearly thought that shit was okay in the interview. You got to think about it.
He did.
You have to think about the process of an interview. It's not like they interview for the New York Times and then it's up the next day. Like, nah, he waited till he got the online backlash and was like, oh shit, I'm sorry everybody. Who knows how long it was between that interview, that promotional interview, and when it went up, and then the online backlash.
Correct.
And thank goodness that writer left that shit in. Cause sometimes they clean shit up to like help you out. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, nah, now see, let me just take that part out. Nah, they left them like, mm-mm. Nah, you said that shit, homeboy. Let me go to the next section before we get cut off. Be right back. But yeah, he said that shit.
Yes, he did.
So he can't even try to play the like, nah, it's you know, I made a mistake. Like, you intentionally said it. I don't know. Maybe you've learned that fast why that shit was stupid to say.
Only
but you did say it.
Tell. Yes, you mansplained.
Yeah.
And it's real easy for somebody to say that when a lot of times white males aren't the victim of a lot of this shit.
And honestly, it's a position of privilege because you don't want to disown Jeffrey Tambor because you like him.
Correct.
You like him, so you don't want to be in a position where you have to turn around and say, I like this dude. Can y'all please like him? Let me continue to like him, which is selfish. But yeah, he tweeted out, based on listening to the New York Times interview and hearing people's thoughts online, I realized that I was wrong here. Sound like I'm condoning, da da da, and I'm not. All that shit I already read. He says, also, I was so eager to let Jeffrey know that he was supported in his attempt to learn, grow, and apologize. Okay, number one, Jeffrey Tambor did not learn, grow, and apologize. He started off on some like, I'm sorry. Then he lost that, he was about to lose that job, and he's like, fuck these bitches. This is too sensitive. This is what's wrong with y'all. It's not me. It's y'all fault. And I'm out, bitch. You're like, wait, dog, that, how's he learning, growing, and apologizing? Anyway, he said, I was so eager to let Jeffrey know that he was supported in his attempt to learn, grow, and apologize. I completely underestimated the feelings of the victim, another person I deeply love. And she was sitting right there. See, it's that instinct to let him know that he's loved, like that's what he needs. That man is fine.
He will get other jobs. Nobody gets canceled.
He's working there. He's working with you. He has another job. Incredibly embarrassed and deeply sorry to have done that to Jessica. This is a big learning moment for me, blah blah blah. I should have focused more on what's important. Part of all of it is there's never any excuse for abuse. And then he goes, from any gender. Nigga, here we go with the performative impartiality. Nobody was saying it's okay when women do it. Zero people think that. If a woman does something like that, she's immediately called a bitch. You can't work with her. Don't hire her again. She thinks she a diva. Da da da. Women don't even really get to do that kind of shit very often. Where like it's not a 1-to-1 ratio where men go off sometimes. Sometimes women go off. It's the rare woman who really does do some wild like tantrum shit at work, but women are very rarely in a position that's so insulated that they can just be like, I'm gonna fucking cuss at somebody and expect to show up the next day and nobody say nothing to me.
Right.
What are you talking about? I didn't say that. Instead, a bunch of other stuff and not very well. I deeply sincerely apologize. All right, whatever, man. Oh, Jason Bateman. Why? People, you didn't see, this is the other thing that's scary. You didn't even do shit. Like, by all accounts, you know, Jason Bateman seems to be a quote-unquote good guy. Like, people like working with him. You don't hear bad shit in the news about him. Nobody accuses him of harassment, and he doesn't have tantrums on set. But it's that type of enabling because of the fucking common ground of gender that you share with this white man and race. That makes you want to excuse him because you need him to know that, hey, I'm still part of the coalition. And that false coalition is always going to tear shit down. That's why we can't have progress in so many areas, because that false coalition of, well, I can't let this white person know that their racism was unacceptable and let people roast them. So what I'm going to say is, listen, I know Tom Brady. He doesn't have a racist bone in his body, okay? I hang out down his house. He's never said anything bad. And for y'all to take one video of him saying, I hate niggers and I'm going nigger hunting, and use it this way, I just can't agree with it. Now, I'm not silencing the victims. I agree with the victims, okay? Their voices should be heard. You're like, both of those things can't exist at the same time.
Come on.
Like, but that can't exist. A world where you go, I just want him to be, allow him to grow. By silencing the people that he's done shit to, then you're not really allowing him shit. You're just allowing him to move on in silence. Disgusting, man. And like I said, he's not even the guy who did it. So it's absolutely needless. It's absolutely unnecessary. You could have said nothing.
Nothing.
Nobody, you should have sat there, let her say her fucking piece. If Jeffrey Tambor wants to come out and fucking address it, or talk about how he's sorry and he's growing and shit, let him say the words out of his mouth. Cause you really don't have to say shit. It's fucking disgusting, man. Morgan Freeman got accused of inappropriate behavior and harassment. I felt like everybody, had already knew he had some shit with him, with like fucking his step granddaughter or some weird shit like that.
Yes.
You know, there's videos that go around of him flirting and stuff like that, which I've seen before. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we played on this show before.
I'm sure being just creepy in interviews.
Yeah, like a black woman will come in, he's like, them legs go all the way to the top or some shit, which is crazy to hear in God's voice, but you know, we've all heard it. is that how he harassed people? He just narrate to them. She had an ass that wouldn't quit for days. Like, what? Who said that? She bent down to pick up that pencil. Mm-mm-mm.
And all I saw was thong, 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 thong.
Right. Like, who is saying this? Is they playing that movie about the penguins in here?
Right.
Morgan Freeman, known for his iconic voice, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, in a detailed investigative report, CNN interviewed 16 people, eight of whom accused the 80-year-old actor of what some called harassment, what others called inappropriate behavior. Another eight say they witnessed his misconduct. These 16 people together described a pattern of inappropriate behavior by Freeman on the set, while promoting his movies and at his production company, Revelations Entertainment. Of those 16, seven people described an environment at Revelations Entertainment that included allegations of harassment or inappropriate behavior by Freeman there, with one incident allegedly witnessed by Lori McCreary, his co-founder in the enterprise, and another in which she was the target of demeaning comments by Freeman in a public setting. One of those seven people alleged that McCreary made a discriminatory remark regarding a female candidate for a job at the Producers Guild of America, where McCreary is co-president. Four people who worked in the production capacities on movie sets with Freeman over the last 10 years described him as repeatedly behaving in ways that made women feel uncomfortable at work. Two, including the production assistant on Going in Style, whose skirt he allegedly attempted to lift. Whoa, that's a lot. Said Freeman subjected them to unwanted touching. Yeah, you know, come on. That's like in the Wendy's handbook. That's, you know what I'm saying? Like, some of these shits, people always try to like make it seem like because men, I mean, how it really does say how trash we are when you're like, look, it's not like he raped her. Like the baseline of like, well, I guess if it's not rape, we can't talk about it. But to be honest, like, these things are like the basics of sexual harassment courses at like minimum wage jobs. Like, you cannot lift up your coworker's skirt or inappropriately touch her at work. Like, that's not some controversial shit to say. And as a man that storied, who has been 50 for most of his life, I don't know how he wouldn't know that. Three said he made public comments about women's clothing or body, but each of them said they didn't report Freeman's behavior, with most saying it's because they feared for their jobs. Instead, some of the women, both on movie sets and at Revelation, said they came up with ways to combat their alleged harassment on their own by changing the way they dress when they knew he would be around, which is still fucked up, you know. And I just, for guys out there that think it's not that big a deal, I would just throw this: most of y'all are black men. If y'all was at work and someone started commenting on your body, specifically about your blackness or something, or doing slight racial fucked up shit towards you, you would notice it, and you wouldn't be, like, you might not report it to HR because you are black and you don't want to have no problems, but you would notice it. You would change up certain things, you know. You wouldn't want to deal with that shit, you know. It's just a fucked up thing. I think what happens is people try to turn the Me Too movement into everybody that's brought up is somehow being drawn and quartered, and that's not what's happening.
Correct.
People are basically saying, hey, Morgan Freeman, you might not be Harvey Weinstein, but cut this shit out.
Right.
You know, from what I'm seeing, people aren't even calling for his job. They're not calling for him to shut this production company down. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to take him to trial. Many of these people didn't even go to human resources. They know that there's levels to this shit. And it always happens like this with when people are afraid of a movement, kind of like how people are afraid of racial progress, where they're like, God, just because somebody said they like, I don't know, because somebody said that they mark like I'll give you a good example. Tom Brady's Make America Great Again hat is not treated the same as, say, Riley Cooper saying I'll fight every nigger in here. Because we as black people are intelligent and we know there's a fucking difference. Now, I'm not saying we like either one of them, but we also know that one of these motherfuckers is an overt call you a nigger in your face racist, and the other one is a covert put a hat to say Trump is my friend but I would never say that shit type of racist. In my mind, there's a difference. Like, if there's levels to this shit, Riley Cooper might be an 8, Tom Brady might be a 4. Still on a racist scale, though.
Still on it, dog.
And that's how I look at this shit with Morgan Freeman. I think a lot of women look at it this way. It's like, Morgan Freeman's the creepy old dude at our job. Cut it out, creepy man. Stop creeping on us. That's all. You know, and honestly, he's at work. So even if there was women who like this, who are like, oh, Morgan, you're so crazy. Always talking about my legs. Ugh. Like, some women like that shit, right? You're still at work. You don't get to gamble on if they like it or not. Mm-mm. You don't get to risk it. You're at work. Unfortunately for you, that's not the kind of job that you have where you get to be like, well, if 50% of the women like it, I can say all the women got fat asses in here. And then, you know, if they like it, if they don't like it, I guess they'll tell me or I'll fire them. You know what I mean? Cause they're scared for their jobs and shit too. And they just want to go to work. These women might have husbands, wives, whatever the fuck. You know, you don't know them. They might not even be interested in men or whatever. They might not want to do whatever the fuck you are, you know, doing. Yeah, so during one incident, he kept trying to lift up my skirt and asking if I was wearing underwear. He never actually succeeded in lifting her skirt, but he would touch it and try to lift it. She would move away and he'd try again. Alan Arkin made a comment telling him to stop. Morgan got freaked out and didn't know what to say. Isn't that funny? She was already telling him to stop. A man happened to notice and go, hey, man. What the fuck are you doing? And then he's like, oh, I don't know. Got scared there.
Because he didn't respect her word.
Right. There's another case in which he allegedly sexually harassed a senior member of the production staff as well as her female assistant. He did comment on our bodies. He knew that if he was coming by not to wear any top that would show our breasts, not to wear anything that would show our bottoms, meaning not wearing clothes that were fitted. CNN also reached out to several people who work, for or with him. Some naturally praised the renowned actor, say that they never saw anything untoward. Others, however, knew exactly what the network was talking about. Several other times during this investigation, when a CNN reporter contacted a person who worked with Freeman to try to ask them if they had seen or been subjected to inappropriate behavior by an actor they worked with, not initially even naming the actor they were asked about, the person would immediately tell them they knew exactly what the reporter had in mind, Morgan Freeman. Some of those people were sources for this investigation, while others declined to comment further or did not want to say, want their name used in the story or what they said using the story. The network also noted that allegations against Freeman did not just spring from this company or on this movie sets. Three entertainment reporters also accused him of making inappropriate comments during publicity events for his films. One was CNN reporter Chloe Mellis, who is the co-author of the article exposing the allegations against Freeman. Mellis was 6 months pregnant at the time. He allegedly made an inappropriate comment to her. He allegedly shook her hand and looked up and down before saying that once saying more than once some variation of, I wish I was there and you are ripe. I wish I was like, what, in your stomach?
Yeah, I wish I could have.
Like what a baby is?
Right, wish I could have got you pregnant.
Okay, what is that?
Yeah, you are ripe, kind of ripe for the picking.
Yeah, ripe. I guess ripe, like about to have that baby.
Yes.
Like, right, okay. Anyway, he also did release a comment. Let me get his side of this shit. Anyone who knows me or has worked with me knows I am not someone who would intentionally offend or knowingly make anyone feel uneasy. I apologize to anyone who felt uncomfortable or disrespected. That was never my intent. The statement read. So, yeah, like I said, this seems more like a cut that shit out than a we gonna get him up out of here, he need to lose his jobs thing. But I mean, cut that shit out. This isn't it that easy? Just don't do it. It can't possibly be that hard to go to work and be like, I'm not gonna try to lift up a skirt or grab somebody's ass or tell some woman I wish I was in your uterus with the baby. Like, it can't be that difficult, dog.
Right.
All right, guys, let's move on. What we're looking like on time? Ooh, hour and a half. You know what, let's go ahead and do a little bit of Guess the Race and we'll get out of here, guys. All right, now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
Ba-da-ba-da.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And the chat room plays along, and they're all racist. All right, let's see what you racists have to say. A man involved in a fatal hit and run was arrested after giving an exclusive interview to the news.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than a business. It's a relationship.
Okay. Oh, shit, it's a relationship. Right. I didn't know.
I skipped the ad. Sorry. Let's try this again.
And killed in a crosswalk on...
Oh, great, it's loading. Oh, now stop. What the fuck? Let me try play again. I'm sorry, everybody. It's working before. Oh, and then the ad wants to come back up. Of course. Oh, fucking course. All right, I'm gonna skip the ad. I'll turn the sound off. The Blackout is live /2018. Come on down. Celebrate with us in Charlotte. Blumenthal Theater for Performing Arts.
A man in his 80s was hit and killed in a crosswalk on Commonwealth Avenue. And now today, the man accused of causing that accident and leaving the scene will face charges in court. That suspect was taken into custody just minutes after Boston 25 aired an exclusive interview in which he confessed to the crime. Boston 25 news reporter Michael Henrich live in Alston, where this deadly crash happened. Michael.
Right in the crosswalk behind me here on Commonwealth Avenue at the intersection of Griggs Street, Sarah. And sources say the 23-year-old driver initially spoke with police and got released because of his limited statements during questioning. And then officers arrested him after his exclusive interview aired on Boston 25 News at 10.
Right now, I'm not worried about nothing, man. Like I said, I'm not a stone cold killer. I didn't do nothing on purpose.
People hit and run people all the time.
No apologies. What? From Potion Fitz, the 23-year-old man who admitted exclusively to Boston 25 News that he was behind the wheel during a deadly hit-and-run crash Wednesday afternoon. Police say Fitz, seen in a disposable suit after investigators confiscated his clothing, hit a man in his 80s just before 1 p.m., as that man walked in the crosswalk on Commonwealth Avenue in Alston.
But I was listening to my music, but as I'm driving too quick. So I'm driving too quick to the point where it's like I couldn't really stop, but it was green light. So as the guy was walking, the light is green, I'm driving, and I'm pressing the horn. Beep, 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 beep. It was either I was going to die and crash into a pole. So when it came down to it, man, accidents happen, man.
Police are reviewing aerial surveillance video to check that green light claim. Witnesses say the scene was awful.
I heard a loud bang, and I immediately looked to the right side, and I saw a person in the air.
They were checking his pulse and checking his vitals, and nothing.
Police initially tracked down Fitz and his SUV by matching a license plate. Sources tell Boston 25 News that investigators released Fitz due to his limited statements during questioning, only to arrest him after his interview aired on Boston 25 News at 10. An interview that included no apologies.
What happened is what happened, man, and it wasn't intentionally. Accidents happened. All it was an accident.
Police have not released the name of the victim in this deadly crash. As for Fitz, he is expected in Brighton District Court today on charges of motor vehicle homicide and leaving the scene of an accident after causing death. Live in Alston, I'm Michael Henrich, Boston 25 News.
Okay, Karen, guess the race of Potion Fitz.
That's white, man. White.
Karen's going white. Let's check the chat room, see what you guys believe Potion Fitz race is. Must be the music. I can't slow down. Must be the music. Black. Must be the music. Plan
that
B.
Name, man.
Potion fits.
Yeah.
It's spelled. You want to know how it's spelled or no?
Yes.
Okay. It's spelled P H O C I A N. His last name is Fitz. F I T T S. Potion fits. All right. Black Ricky Bobby Black. Plan B would be to confess in a rap lyric. Black, black, God no, black, black, black with a bad attitude. The ghost of Paul Walker White. It's stupid, a race, because it's not a race, Candace. He did that shit. He guilty as fuck. Black, Knight Rider. Black, is that World Star News? Black, black, and are we live on TV? Hey, mama, it's me, Black. Karen,
I said white, but you spell that name in Fitz. Oh, you got Fitzsimmons. Shit.
Fitzsimmons is spelled different. Is F-I-T-Z.
Okay. I'm going to go black.
Okay. All right. Well, all right, is that the one you stick with?
Yes.
The correct answer is black. You got it correct. Some of you guys, one of y'all went white.
That just sound like some white shit. You just was like, is we recording? I'm gonna confess to the crime. Is the red button on?
Yeah. Yeah, that, I mean, he just straight up, he's like, look, people hit run all the time, okay?
Right?
I'm like, what are you doing?
Right.
I know his lawyer gonna be like, man, I don't, why are we even meeting? Just go to jail and get the, just plead guilty.
I can't defend you.
Like, what you want me to say? Like, they, you just confessed to the whole fucking crime, man. That's him. Is it show up in the chat yet?
Not yet. There's probably a little delay.
Oh, okay. It's showing on my screen. You guys see him in the chat? Can y'all? Man,
maybe I need to refresh. I can refresh.
I don't see if they're. Okay. Yeah, they see him. Okay.
Yeah, let me refresh real quick.
Yeah. Like, I feel bad for the young brother, but that nigga going to jail.
Right.
I'm shaking my head every time he opened his mouth. Yeah, he was like 80 or something, but the light was green. I was listening to my music. I'm like, all right, let's see what else we got here. How about this one? Country Time pledges to pay fines of kids whose lemonade stand gets shut down for operating without a permit.
Around the country, kids are getting busted for running lemonade stands. Entrepreneurship, good work habits, good old-fashioned fun, shut down because of old, arcane, but very real laws. The kids like Autumn Thomason.
My lemonade stand got shut down because I didn't have a permit. It was unfair.
She's six. It's happening everywhere. No, seriously, look it up. But this summer, things are going to be different. Because Country Time is introducing Legal Aid. A crack team. Ready to straighten out lemonade stand-related permits and fines. Making sure no kid is denied their right to a lemonade stand and all the benefits they bestow.
If you have a problem with your lemonade stand, the offices of Country Time Legal Aid
are ready to take a stand for you.
Tastes like justice.
So, when life gives you arcane laws, make lemonade.
We're here for you.
And get your permits and fines paid at countrytimelegalaid.com.
Guess the race of the children that they're helping out in this.
All these kids is white.
Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room and see what you guys believe.
Now, you said sweet tea and lemonade stand. I'd be like black.
White. The music is misleading, but the this is baseball, but basketball. What? All white, white, white. Ancestors gave out.
Talking about that music, like baseball, basketball music. You know how they play the shit in the background.
Oh, okay, I see. Ancestors gave out small packs of their lemonade. So white, 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 white. Lemon zest, white. So white. The correct answer is white. They were all white.
Because only white kids get to be entrepreneurs at six.
That's an adorable.
That is a fucking adorable commercial though.
I mean, them pokey, I mean, they six. We just trying to sell some never, like, what you ain't gonna do is sell lemonade.
Unless have you seen the video of the black man calling the police on the little white girls for selling lemonade?
Mm-mm. I bet you that shit's hilarious.
It's so good, cause you know how white people always calling the cops on us?
For every fucking, for breathing.
He was cussing at the white kids too. I don't know how to find it, by the way. It was on Twitter. And calls police. Lemonade stand, maybe I can find it that way, but like it was adorable. The little white girls was adorable, like hey or whatever the fuck, and he was like nope. He said y'all little niggas got a lemonade stand
illegal, y'all run a legal operation.
Oh my god,
shut this shit down.
I saw it on Twitter, guys. I'm sorry, I wish I knew the link to it, because I definitely would play it for y'all. I'm looking for it, and I just can't find. I mean, it looked like Child Lemonade stands shut down. There's a lot of news on it.
Yeah,
but
I think somebody said they'll tweet it to you.
Yeah, tweet it to me if you can, man. I'll open up my Twitter real quick, because it. He was like, "Y'all little niggas got permit." Yeah, I'm gonna have to call to see. Like, oh, that's how white people be making.
What did you call 411? Who was you calling?
He was calling the police on the little kid.
311 line.
Oh, man.
They just trying to make a little change for the summertime.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Kev underscore chillin' said it. Yeah. I mean, did it. Let me see if I can, go to the, actual, copy the link on the, post. This shit was so fucking good, y'all. I need y'all to see it with me. I know this is a huge tangent and it's gonna take a second to load up, but I don't give a fuck. Y'all really have to see this shit. Oh my god. He was so cool with it too. He was like, just like they were being all adorable, like, you want lemonade? He was like,
just being kids.
Y'all niggas got, y'all, this one, like, y'all got no permit out here, dude. Y'all got a little permit? Y'all got a permit?
I know, that was like, a permit, the fuck is a permit?
Yeah, he put, summer is approaching us. Make sure you do your civil duties and call the police on random white people.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Look, after all that they have done to us this year specifically, just this year alone, it's worth it. I mean, come on. Call the police on them.
Here you go.
Thank you. Hey, real quick. Y'all little niggas got a permit?
What?
You heard me, Jimmy. I said y'all little niggas got a permit.
Permit?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What? Do you have a permit? What? I don't know. Probably not.
Shut it down.
Oh, no!
I love
that's
how...
That's hilarious.
I love how you sipped on the lemonade between...
I bet that shit was good, too.
He's like, y'all little niggas got permit?
I hope that baby's name was Jimmy, because he just made Jimmy up.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go.
Thank you. Hey, real quick. Y'all little niggas got a permit?
He got close to his ear.
You heard me, Jimmy. I said y'all little niggas got a permit.
Permit?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What? Do you have a permit?
Shut it down.
Oh I'm
shutting it down.
Oh, so good.
I don't care how goddamn delicious this is, I'm shutting it down. What's your grade?
That long ass sip, man, it gives me every time. It sounds delicious. Like
I bet you that lemonade was flames.
No, he's still shutting it down. All right, bonus round.
That's hilarious.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right, double the points, double the race, and bonus round of guess the race. So far, Karen is 2-for-2.
Yay!
But will she be able to keep it going in the bonus round? Let's see. A upset restaurant employee hires a homeless man and stages a robbery to teach the boss a lesson.
What?
A disgruntled employee hires a homeless man and staged a robbery to teach her boss a lesson after he repeatedly sent his wife to open a restaurant while he stayed home. Chan Tran, 47, worked at Gina's restaurant in Woodburn, Oregon, where she opened up the eatery with the owner's wife, Chung Lee Huang, an activity she felt was unfair. It was not fair to make Chung Lee Huang work more and possibly dangerous. Tran told KATU of her motivation behind the planned robbery. To get back at her boss for not coming to work as often, Tran said she hired a homeless man from Portland to pretend to rob the restaurant while the two women were in there alone. Tran had reportedly offered the homeless man, identified as Conan DeHut, 36, a cell phone and cash to pretend the job to rob the restaurant. The two allegedly practiced the robbery to make it look as real as possible, Tran said to KATU. In the practice, DeHut was supposed to drag the owner's wife to the back of the restaurant, place a knife to her throat before Tran intervened with money. However, during the stage robbery, DeHut tried to enter the restaurant differently, which Tran attempted to block. Once DeHut forced his way inside, Tran placed the money on the floor for him, which he took and then fled. During the fake robbery, DeHut cut Tran on the arm with the knife he was carrying. Wow. Wow. Police were called to the scene after Tran claimed she was robbed at knife point. After an investigation, officers discovered surveillance footage of Tran dropping DeHut off behind the restaurant an hour before the robbery. Tran and DeHut were arrested on attempted robbery, unlawful use of a weapon, and menacing charges. Guess the race of the employee, Chan Tran.
Asian.
Karen's going with Asian. Let's check the chat room and see what these Negroes believe. All right, let's give them a second. You know how they get. Well, you know, there. Asian. Hurry up and rob, Asian.
Aww.
Vietnamese, Asian. Huh. No, I feel sorry for your mother in the chat room. I'm a little disappointed in everyone today. Anyway, the correct answer is Asian. Y'all got it. And let me put it in the chat. And the dude that helped her was white, but I didn't want to throw y'all off by making y'all guess both of their white races. Shout out to him fucking up the robbery plan even after they practiced, though.
Right.
Trying to come in a different way. Can't depend on white people for shit.
He wanted a remix.
Mm-hmm. And then cut on the arm. Did they practice that too?
Probably not.
They won't believe it unless you cut me on the arm. And then they had footage dropping the nigga off.
Right.
Oh, man. All right, guys. Let's go to Sword Ratchetness. And then we'll wrap up. That's right, we have some sword ratchetness. A sword waving suspect chases a man down Glasgow street. Two men were seen squaring up at each other at a set of traffic lights in the Castle Milk area of Glasgow last night. In the clip filmed by a witness on a mobile phone, one of the men pulls out what looks like a huge machete type sword and begins furiously chasing the other man down the street before the police turn up.
Oh.
When the police arrive, the man with the weapon runs into a wooded area. The swordsman goes to attack the other man. Those are just captions. The chase continued until police arrived on the scene. A helicopter was reportedly deployed to the scene in a bid to find the missing man. Police Scotland spokeswoman said at around 18:20 hours on Friday, June 1st, police received a report of a man on Laneshaw Drive, Castle Milk, with an offensive weapon. Officers attended and conducted a search of the area, resulting in a negative response. So they didn't even find them.
Aww.
Wow. That's some Grand Theft Auto shit. There was no reports of injuries or attacks. We can confirm the helicopter was used part of the search. Inquiries are continuing. All right, guys, that's it. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening to the show.
Thank you.
Until next time. All right. We'll talk to y'all later. I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.